Welcome back to Double M Live. We are back in Warm Studios, brought to you by BetOnline.ag. This is episode 119, my brother Mike Nice.
We flying, bro. We're flying indeed. 119,
man. Woof. I don't even know. Do you even remember what episode 19 was about? If I could find my phone, I'll tell you.
I feel like if we can go back in time for a second.
What do you think episode 19 was about?
I don't know what it was about, but I can tell you who's probably there. You.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope I was there.
Shout out to T-Mac.
T-Mac was definitely in episode 19.
T-Mac was most likely in the building. You pulling it up?
I'm trying. Yeah, I got it. So, you know, it's a lot of scrolling.
You, me, T-Mac for sure. Just getting our feet wet.
Okay.
Getting our feet wet in the podcast world.
Wow.
Well, not for us, but you, me, and T-Mac doing shows together. You found it?
I found it.
Okay, what you got? What
episode 19 was recorded on June 26, 2019. Mm. Why Mark Jackson got fired. Mm. MJ's 10-year anniversary. Vote for Bernie? And importance of attraction. That's how you know T-Mac was on this episode.
Back when we had her perspective.
Yes.
And she giving her input on things. Shout out to T-Mac one time. But we gotta bring those conversations back.
Hey, man, I'm ready.
I don't know how. I don't know when.
I'm ready.
But we gotta bring those conversations back.
I love it, man. But we on episode 119, brother. This is a question I haven't asked you. Something I used to ask you before every episode. I'm going to bring it back.
Bring it back.
Mr. Mike Nice.
Yep.
What is on the playlist for today?
Oh, the playlist.
The
wow.
Playlist. You remember that?
Yeah. We got to bring that back for sure. On the playlist on this episode 119 of Double M, we got to talk about the Celtics.
Hot start.
As we record here on Tuesday, December 6th, Celtics are 25 games into the season and sit at a record of 20-5. You heard me right. 20 wins and only 5 losses. So they're off to a pretty hot start. Marvin and I are going to get into that. We're going to dissect it, share our thoughts, feelings, opinions on what the team has showed us so far into the regular season in the NBA. Also on the playlist, primetime.
Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders is in the news right now because he has made the transition from Jackson State and HBCU to another Division I program in Colorado. What's their official name? Colorado University? I don't know the official name. We'll get that. But he's made his way from Jackson State to Colorado and has taken over their football program as the head coach of the football team. And a lot of people have their thoughts and feelings and opinions, some positive, some negative, about him making that move. And Marvin and I will definitely get into that because, you know, even having a conversation today with a fellow coworker, some people are happy about it and happy for him. And some people are like, nah, Deion, that move wasn't it. So we'll get into that conversation as well. And what we also have on the playlist, rest in peace to what some may consider the greatest Power Ranger of all time, Jason David Frank, who formerly known as Tommy, the Green Ranger, the White Ranger, a Red Ranger, and another Red Ranger, and a Black Ranger. He played 5 different Rangers as his time with, you know, the Power Rangers, and, you know, he unfortunately passed away. And we're going to get into that situation and, you know, what he meant to fans of Power Rangers and, you know, the bigger conversation, obviously, of, you know, suicide, because unfortunately that's how his life was taken. So, different things on a playlist, some sports, some entertainment, media, you know, we going to dibble and dabble in a lot of different stuff, but that's what it is when you tune in to Double M. That's what we bring to the table.
Yes, sir. Let's get right into it, man. Let's not waste any time. Boston Celtics are 20-5. Hard start. They just beat the Toronto Raptors in a slugfest last night as we record on a Tuesday, December 6th. This team has gone through its roller coaster. You know, we came on here and we spoke about how the offseason was a mess and it put a damper to a lot of things, and how, you know, with the Ime and Robert Williams and Danilo Gallinari, you know, three people that you lost that were, that you thought were going to be three major pieces to the Celtics team, it put a damper into it. We're not talking about that no more, Mike.
Not at all.
Going into the new year, this team is on fire. Right now, as we speak, they are not only the best offense in the NBA, they are the best offense in NBA history.
Say that one more time for the people in the back.
Not only are they the best offense in the NBA, they are the best offense in NBA history. It's ridiculous what they are doing right now. Last night, the Toronto game was a slow game. They scored 90 points in three quarters. And I'm like, oh, damn, this is a slow game. And I'm like, what the hell, bro? 90 points in three quarters, and we're calling it slow for the Celtics? That's how dominant they have been throughout this stretch without Robert Williams having even entered the court, with all the point guards in and out of the lineup with Brogdon and Marcus Smart. The train has continued, and it's been super, super impressive. There's not a lot of Jags on this team.
What do you mean by Jag, my brother Marv? What do you mean by Jag?
There's not a lot of je ne sais quoi guys on this team. You know what I'm saying? There's some legit dudes on this ball team. Last year, Derek White, Jag, just a guy. This year, he might be a guy. He might be a guy on this team.
This Celtics team, they're doing exactly, so far this season, like I said, 25 games in, they're doing exactly what myself and many other Celtics fans probably hoped that they would do, you know, at the start of the season. You got to remember, going back to the last season, the second half of the season, the Celtics were a problem.
It was dominant.
The most dominant, if not one of the most dominant teams
with Phoenix
in the league. That second half, after the All-Star break, they were a force. And yes, you could talk about, you know, some up and downs in the playoffs. They went seven games with...
I said not a lot of Jags, Sam. There's still some Jags there, but not a lot.
They went seven games with Milwaukee, right?
Yep.
They went seven games with Miami.
That was tough.
Tough series, but at the end of the day, they won the Eastern Conference Finals and made their way to the playoffs. I mean, sorry, not the play, the NBA Finals.
Yep.
And yeah, they lost the finals. Understood. They lost to a team that's a dynasty right now. But they played amazing basketball from February, mid-February, pretty much all the way till June, when their season ended.
Right.
And everyone thought, yo, if the Celtics can put this together from the start of next season, moving forward, they're going to be a very good basketball team. Not only just the team, but you talk about Tatum. Tatum's second half of the year, he was in MVP conversation.
Yep.
Fast forward to this season, Tatum has started off this 2022-2023 season.
Something he hasn't done.
With his foot on the gas pedal.
Yeah.
The whole team now has started off this season with their foot on the gas pedal. Now you're talking about Tatum being an MVP conversation off rip. Now you're talking about Brown, who always plays aggressive, but Brown himself is taking his game slightly to another level. Now you're not talking about Brown, oh yeah, he just be an all-star. Now you're talking about Brown making all NBA.
Which we talked about, wondering where we wanted Brown to be in this year, is starting to come to fruition.
That's different. You got two guys on your team leading your team now. One is in NBA. MVP conversations, and the other guy is in all NBA conversations. What more can you ask for from a team? And then on top of those two guys doing their thing, everybody's just in their role and killing it. Horford doing what he's supposed to do. Derek White, you know, not supposed to be starting, but getting some starting now because of, you know, the injuries and whatnot, and has recaptured pretty much what he was doing for San Antonio.
Probably having a better year than he's had in his best San Antonio
years. He was on San Antonio ball. He came to Boston iffy. Some people didn't like him, whatnot. But now he's locked in, killing it.
Right.
Smart has elevated his game and really has solidified himself even more as a point guard in this league. Brogdon. People knew what they were getting from Brogdon, the guy who could score the basketball, guy who's probably the most legitimate point guard on the team.
Yeah.
And I know you still feel iffy about how they're using him and whatnot, but even with the minutes Brogdon is getting, what more can you ask? He's doing what you ask. He's providing a scoring punch off the bench and just another facilitator out there for this team. When Pritchard gets minutes, he provides. Grant is shooting probably the best he's ever shot from 3-point range.
Waiting for you to get to the guy. Get to my guy. Keep going. Grant, yep.
Who you want me talking about? Blake?
Nope.
Blake is handling his business when he gets time out there. Who you want me to talk about?
Come on, get to the guy, bro.
Cornette?
Talk about it.
I can't lie.
Thank you.
I wasn't high on Cornette at all.
Cornette.
I didn't still want me to dance like Juju Smith-Schuster. I didn't think Cornette was going to be anything for this team. Obviously, with Rob being out, you figured Cornette would get some minutes. But even with Cornette getting minutes, I didn't think he was going to provide any type of punch. Cornette, that boy.
That boy can play.
That boy solid out there. That boy ain't bad. That boy out there catching oops.
Behind the back.
He catching oops. He had some wild play in the game against Toronto. I'm pretty sure it was against Toronto. JB gave him a pass, and he caught it in the air and gave a little. Yo, he caught it in the air and gave a little, what do you say, je ne sais quoi?
Je ne sais quoi, bro.
He gave a little something on it and laid it up. I was like, yo, Cornette. My man got the Cornette contest. That's what Scal calls it.
Call it.
The Cornette contest. When a player
when he jumps up in the
air.
Oh, I don't like that.
A player shoots from the 3-point line and Cornette just jumps and put his hands up. Apparently it's slightly effective.
That's what Brad Stevens says, right?
But at the end of the day, Celtics as a team, led by JB and JT, who I think are finally playing some angry basketball. I always thought JB played like he mean business.
Yeah.
But obviously, offensively, Tatum is the better player, all-around player, and a lot of people argue that. But now you have Tatum playing an angry style of basketball. I want to get to the basket. I'm trying to get to the free throw line. I'm trying to lay it up on your neck. At times, I may be trying to dunk on your neck. Tatum is playing angry basketball like something just happened. He's pissed off about it. Now he's coming for any and everybody.
He's playing like he knows he's the best player on the court.
Yes. Just lost in the NBA Finals. How you plan on bouncing back from that loss and that defeat? He spoke a big game in media day. Oh, I couldn't sleep. I think about it all the time, this and that. He spoke a big game. Now that we're 25 games in, he's backing it up with his talk. We're talking about a guy, like I said, who, for some people, he's in MVP conversations. For a lot of people, right now, he is the league MVP.
Right. So what you said is something that Kevin Durant mentioned when they beat the Brooklyn Nets. You just named off a bunch of dudes. Durant on his presser was saying, like, yo, they played 11 guys today against us, and they all played well. When you look back into the playoffs, yes, the Celtics were super dominant last year in the second half, but it was very dependent on how Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum played.
Mm-hmm.
How Marcus Smart and Al Horford, how the main starters would play. You weren't going to get much from the bench.
That starting lineup was a force.
The starting lineup was great,
yeah.
But you wasn't going to get much. If the starting lineup was on their game, blow out, you win the game. Now, you look in these 25 games that the Celtics have played this season, they've have found ways to win in different scenarios. Last night, you can probably Blake Griffin's best game where he showed out. There's been times when Mazzulla needed a punch and he's put in Pritchard and Cornett together. And they gave the Celtics a punch. You're bringing different type of guys to Grant Williams has just not missed since he's been on the court, making timely shots. This is what's making this Celtics team very, very scary. And it's great to see that you can trust your bench. Now, obviously, not every night's going to be like that. But what's exciting is when the Celtics went on a dominant run and slowed down in the playoffs, they didn't have Rob Williams, right? Rob Williams was there, but it was like maybe, 60% of Rob, 65% of Rob. He tried his best out there. You're not doing this with Rob. At this point, you're telling Rob, take your sweet damn time. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll probably play him 2 times a week, if anything, when he gets back. Just get him acclimated to the basketball wind again and have him ready for the playoffs. My goodness. But it's only 25 games into the season. It's still very, very early. I look at the Suns. Celtics are having a Suns-like season of last year. Mm. The Suns went to the NBA Finals 2 years ago. Suns went to the NBA Finals 2 years ago, and they lost. They go into the last season, and they were the best team in the NBA.
Yep.
and it was as dominant as what the Celtics are doing. I'm talking about 20-plus points a game beating teams on a pace to win 60 games. It was it's very, very similar to what the Celtics season is happening right now. And then they get into the playoffs, boom, they lose to Luka Doncic. So, you know, I want us to just keep, this is a very long season. Celtics' main concern right now, health. Another concern I have with the Celtics is turnovers. Yes, they are 20-5. Celtics still have not fixed their turnover issue.
Nope. It's almost cost them a lot of games.
And just because their offense is a force.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be sweet in the playoffs. In the playoffs, that will cost you games. We saw in Miami how they lost due to turning the ball over. Jason Tatum against Brooklyn had 9 turnovers in a game. That's way too many. Celtics are still very sloppy with the ball. And my concern was you brought in Malcolm Brogdon to fix that.
Yeah.
Brogdon was supposed to, and he said it himself. Oh, you see how that sometimes they lose control, and I would be there to stabilize things. And I haven't seen that role for Brogdon to be in, come be the point guard and stabilize everything for the team when things are going awry. I feel like the coaches don't know how to use him yet. And then another thing, Brogdon's turning the ball over just as much as well with the team. So that's also frustrating to see. So those are my concerns. Obviously, the Celtics are a force. And due to their offensive prowess, they can overcome the turnovers. The way they're shooting the 3-ball is incredible. Things change, though. Things change in the playoffs. Teams start to focus on what your strengths are. They're going to start taking it away. The way to combat that, all the Celtics got to do is limit the turnovers. Celtics turn the ball over at a high rate, a very high clip that needs to come down going into the second half of the season.
Yeah, when you turn the ball over, it's not going to lead to much success. Now, again, like we both spoke on, luckily for the Celtics, because their offense has been such a force, they've been able to overcome a lot of those issues. But in the playoffs, it's a different story. I don't care how powerful your offense is. When you get into a 7-game series and you got teams really studying each other and understanding each other's game going back, it's a different story. They Celtics almost lost to the Miami Heat, and a lot of that was because the way they just continuously turned the ball over.
They still struggle with physical teams.
Yeah. Like, and I'm one to say, I don't, as much as I love how great the Celtics have started this season, and they're the best team in the league. They have the best record, whatever. I still feel like a team like Milwaukee.
Oh, what?
Without a doubt.
Milwaukee.
I still fear a team like Milwaukee. Of course. Because can you say Milwaukee's the most physical team in the league? Maybe. But they probably have the most physical player who's going to easily drive down and dunk on anybody's neck and butt. And like,
Milwaukee's scary, man.
Milwaukee's still a scary team. The Celtics have a better record than Milwaukee. Yes, Milwaukee just got Middleton back. So their team is back to full strength for the most part.
If you look in the NBA, bro, there's only two teams. It's two teams in the rest of the league. It's Milwaukee and it's the Celtics.
Yeah.
They just happen to be in the same conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's Milwaukee and the Celtics and then the rest of the... Those are the two teams that are just dominating the league. And Milwaukee was doing it without Middleton for most of,
yeah,
most of this.
Milwaukee started the team. The league is the year is the most dominant team for sure.
So, it's Milwaukee. Milwaukee's that team. Brook Lopez... I've been saying it. Brook Lopez is having a hell of a season right now. He's back. Last year he was coming off of injury. He's fully back now, being a defensive prowess, knocking down his threes. Giannis, look, bro, I think we're getting to the point where we're treating Giannis like LeBron, where we're taking him for granted of what he's doing on the court. Because he's just doing it every single night, doesn't take a night off. He's a problem.
Yeah, people don't talk about Giannis.
We're taking him for granted.
People don't talk about Giannis at all, but like he's dominant every time he's on the court, putting up dominant numbers. But I think people are just like, okay, we've seen that now for a couple of years. It's just whatever. But Giannis is MVP conversation
right now.
Every year. As long as he's fully healthy, Giannis is in the conversation. And obviously, it's like, you know, the shiny new toy in a sense. Right now, it happens to be Tatum because Tatum has on the best team right now. So he's getting all the looks and everything, but I don't care how the season shakes out, fully healthy, I'm always going to be like, yo, Celtics still got to deal with Giannis. They still got to get through Giannis.
And shout out to the NBA schedule makers. The fact that Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks face each other for the first time on Christmas, and like both teams are the
best.
Wow,
they haven't played each other.
Both teams are the best teams in the league.
They didn't face each other
earlier? They haven't faced each other yet.
Wow.
They haven't faced each other yet. They're two of the best teams in the league. You maybe get Rob back for Christmas. We don't know. But the fact that that's the storyline going into Christmas, their first time playing, and then what? You're going to face each other. The treat for us, now we get three more games with them throughout the rest of the season. That's dope. That's a really dope storyline. Yeah. Two teams surging for the number one spot face each other for the first time on Christmas.
And Celtics got to show a lot because there's definitely a lot of people who probably still say, even to this day, Celtics only got through Milwaukee because they didn't have Middleton.
Yeah.
There's people that and surely feel that way.
Why wouldn't they feel that? Went to game seven.
Yeah. Celtics, there's a lot of that. So yeah, there's a lot of people out there who will be like, Celtics only got that far and took care of Milwaukee because Giannis didn't have his right-hand man. Guy who was, some people say, a Celtics killer. So Celtics got to show a lot. Let's hope that both teams are at full strength in all their matchups. They see each other in the playoffs, they're both at full strength. Celtics got to prove themselves against that team. Like, it's weird for me to say that I still feel like the East goes through Giannis. It's a situation now, like LeBron for a few years in Cleveland or Miami, whatever you want to call it. I still feel in a sense the East goes through Giannis. I know Embiid and, you know, we've got Philly, Brooklyn. It's looking real slow for Brooklyn. I know they got their two firepower stars over there. But the East, in my opinion, still goes through Giannis. And until you knock that team off full strength with Middleton and Brooke and Drew and all of them out there, that's a team to be reckoned with. So
we got Thomas Fitt, Evan saying also the Celtics weren't passing as well as they are now. Yeah, I mean, I don't know when you came on, but we spoke about how dominant this offense is and how it's making up. They're obviously a better team than they were last year. They know each other better. They pass the ball with confidence. I love seeing even JB and JT, the way they trust other guys to make big shots has been, it's been a great sight to see. So they should be able to be the better team than Brooklyn, but than Milwaukee. But like you said, bro, Celtics even this year struggle against physical teams. It's no joke. They struggle against physical teams. And
teams with better rebounding.
And yeah, it was teams that were better rebounding, and Celtics turned the ball over a lot. So that's something that Milwaukee has to their advantage when it comes to that matchup. So it's going to be great. It's going to be great to see. Christmas Day, that game, those two teams have not faced each other, is wild. But let's get it.
Yeah. I'm always one who surely believes no matter how good a team is playing, if you get out rebound and out hustled, like, you're going to find yourself losing some games. And again, Celtics have just been blessed to be lights out from 3-point range.
Sam Hauser was
putting up 120 points a game. Celtics have been blessed. But it's easy to do that in a regular season when you're facing some teams on a random night. When you get locked into a playoff series and you know the matchups and you know what the deal is, losing rebound battles, unless Tatum and Brown gonna come out playing like Jordan and Kobe and stuff, like the whole series, losing rebounding battles and turning the ball over consistently, it gets scary. It gets really scary. I understand the Celtics got the best offense right now, possibly in NBA history, whatnot, but it's different when you're in a playoff series and your team just can't match up with the rebounding and you just constantly giving the ball to the other team. You know, let's ride the wave that we're on right now and hope that the Celtics can continue. Rob comes back and it's a easy fit back into the rotation and you get back the best starting lineup in the league because that's what they were all of last season. Let's see if that's what the case will be. But yeah, Celtics 25 games in are on a roll.
This is Double M Live episode 119. If you are joining us live, please jump in, join us on the conversation. Let us know your thoughts and feelings on what we are talking about on this episode. We'll definitely shout you guys out and speak on it. First, we got to pay the bills and hear some words from our sponsor. This episode of Double M is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains the number one source for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season.
You will always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline.
Always your continued source for sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sports or game imaginable.
We are the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events.
Head to BetOnline.ag to join and receive our 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards.
BetOnline, where the game starts.
Welcome back to Double M Live episode 119. We're moving onto the playlist. Mike Nice, we got Deion Sanders, Prime Time.
Prime Time, okay. Deion Sanders, y'all know this man, the legendary cornerback.
We know about his football career.
He also played baseball as well. But yeah, let's fast forward to the current day and age. Deion Sanders took up the role as head coach of Jackson State.
Yes.
University?
Jackson State, yeah.
Jackson State University, which is a HBCU.
Right.
And, you know, a school, a program that didn't have a lot of notoriety, you know, not really in the limelight, whatnot, but you bring Deion Sanders into the fold, you're going to get extra attention. You're going to get extra eyes. You're going to get extra media. And that's what Deion Sanders brought to that program. And it was great, you know. People always been trying to put HBCUs back on the map, get more attention brought their way. And like I said, that's what Deion Sanders did with the school. Has a football program, and I think I don't follow too much college football.
They were undefeated. They were a force.
But the college team was a force, like Marv just said. College football team, was a force under the leadership of Deion Sanders. And Opportunity apparently was presented this man's way to leave Jackson State University and then take up the head coaching position at Colorado State University.
Colorado University.
Colorado Buffaloes. Okay. Yep. Excuse me. Like I said, I don't follow too much college sports, college football. But he left Jackson State University to take up the head coaching role at Colorado University. And some people ain't happy about it. Some people are not too happy. The funniest meme I saw was, if people are familiar with the Friday series in the movie Next Friday, Uncle Elroy was talking to Craig about, you know, leaving his people or leaving, you know, the hood or whatnot and going out to the burbs, going out to, you know, big house and, you know, whatever the situation was. And people are comparing that with a meme that I've seen used, comparing that to the Deion Sanders situation. He is leaving Jackson State University to go out to Colorado. Obviously, the burbs, I mean, Colorado, up in Aspen, up in the mountains and whatnot. I mean, I don't know exactly where he's at. He's, you know, living and whatnot. But that's how people feel about the situation. People are don't like the fact that he's leaving his HBCU to go to this other school. And Deion Sanders probably presented with a lot of money. A lot of money. And maybe, I don't know if he came out with comments or why he made a decision or whatnot. But, you know, the dollar bill's got to play a factor. One. And two.
It's a bigger school.
It's a big, like I said, bigger school. One of my coworkers was telling me this morning that I guess on his Instagram and whatnot, he showed or had post of like the facility and whatnot. And apparently out there, it's top of the line, one of a kind.
Yeah.
And Deion Sanders said, okay, he's making that move.
Yeah. So with the whole Deion Sanders, one reason I'm not, so how do I want to say this? One, I understand why people are upset.
That's what I told my coworker.
I completely understand why people are upset. Two, I'm not upset at Deion Sanders. I think both can be mutual. Deion Sanders, when he took the HBCU job, already came out and was like, yo, I'm here for bigger and better. Like, I'm ready. I think I can be a Nick Saban. I can be one of the best coaches out there. So in his mindset, this was already going to be a stepping stone. Now, when he got into the HBCU, the way Deion was talking, he gave a lot of people, a lot of black people, hope. Like, okay, now we're going to start seeing some change with these HBCUs. You know, now we're going to start seeing some athletes go to HBCUs. The greatest thing last year to me was when Travis Hunter, number one recruit from high school, wide receiver, cornerback, went to Jackson State. That right there changed the game. Because now you got the Alabama's pissed, the Auburn's pissed. Like, what the hell, you guys taking away a number one recruit? Top recruits don't go to no HBCUs. The lack of resources. You don't get any TV time like that. There's a great chance you don't get there. Deion came with his notoriety, who he is, and had a dominant football team. Was a hell of a coach. Started to bring up HBCUs up. All of a sudden, when Deion went to Jackson State, I started to see more support for black colleges. I started to see that, oh, you know, the direction of putting kids, you know, kids that are of color towards black. I started seeing that push. Started seeing NBA players wearing HBCU gear to try to promote those colleges. That's the effect that Deion Sanders had. So I completely understand that when you have all these people backing you, like, wow, look at what you did. And then an opportunity presents itself, Dion had to weigh his options. He knew. He knew he was going to get this backlash. Because Dion also, you know, if you know anything about Dion, he speaks a big game. Talks a lot of mess, too. And he was talking a lot about how great it is to be an HBCU and how they can compete with any all of the colleges. So when he gets his opportunity presented and jumps ship, of course it looks crazy for to people. Of course people are going to get upset and be like, yeah, what the hell, man? You're leaving the hood, like you were saying, to go to the burbs. But put yourself in Dion's shoe. If I have a dream, I have a goal. My goal is to get to the top. If I'm trying to get to the top, I can't let these opportunities go because of what you guys see me as. I could still try to get to the top and bring my peoples with me. Obviously, there's going to be barriers when it comes to that. And I completely understand the pushback when people will hear that. But I'm not shocked. End of the day, Dion's doing what he wants to do for himself, of where he thinks he can be. Dion is one of those dudes that thinks he's the best at everything, and he has the right to feel that way. And he thinks that he can be the greatest coach. How do you become the greatest coach? Well, you take a team like Colorado, who's not that great, and you change that whole system around. You don't think another school's going to be calling in 5 years?
Yeah.
You don't think he's going to take that opportunity? That's how you make your name. When white coaches move up and go to other places, no one bats an eye. So we should be supporting Dion. I get this. I get it. But I you have to see from the other person's perspective as well. And it was not something that Dion was hiding. Like, yo, I want to be a head coach and dominate. And so that's what it is for me. That's how I see it.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people are pissed, or not pissed, but people feel some type of, as soon as Dion left, the craziest storyline came was like a lot of kids who committed to Jackson decommitted.
Of course.
Said, oh, Dion's gone? I'm gone. Dion's out? He's not coaching anymore? I'm all set. And I mean,
that makes complete sense.
Yeah, it's completely understandable. A lot of these kids want to play football for Deion Sanders. Who wouldn't? Like, you hear one of the best players in NFL history is coaching at a school? Like, yeah, you want to go where that guy's at. So I get it. People are not happy. She's taking some shine and light off of HBCUs. But individually, like you said, I agree with everything you said. Here's a guy who wants to... His goal is probably be one of the greatest coaches of all time, whether it be on a college level. I don't know if he has dreams and aspirations to be on the NFL level, but he wants to be in this next phase of his career and his life. He wants to be one of the greatest coaches ever. He wants to go to a bigger program, bigger program that has more resources, probably an amazing facility. You know, all of that comes with being at a bigger program. And I think everything that he brought to the table and was able to attract while he was at Jackson, he could do that at Colorado. I think in his press conference, he over there talking about how his son is about to be the starter quarterback for the football team. Yep. Like, you might have a lot of black athletes, high school students, ain't probably ever thought twice about going to a Colorado, because, you know, this is a team, a college, a school, even though they're D1, from all accounts that I've heard, they've sucked.
Yeah, chips.
They've been a bad team.
Pretty bad.
A bad program. But now Deion Sanders is there. Now every top athlete who wanted to commit to Jackson, sorry, yeah, they're not going to commit to Jackson anymore. But they're about to go to Colorado, and he's about to turn Colorado up and put them on the map with the different recruits and bring different limelight and what their way. But at the end of the day, Deion Sanders, like you said, is making these moves. Whoa, excuse me. Split right off the table.
You pissed somebody off.
Probably. Deion Sanders, I was in the midst of my thing. Deion Sanders is making these moves for Deion Sanders. Yeah. And his own life, his own family, you know. He's making these moves for himself, not for anybody else. He's not trying to please the people. He's not trying to please the masses. Obviously, I'm sure he likes his followers and his support, but at the end of the day, he's doing what he's doing for him and him only. You can't be mad at that. He's not hurting anybody but what he's doing. Yeah, he ruffled some feathers, made a few people upset, but is he moving in any type of negative light, in any type of negative way? Not at all.
I also just want to go back to the HBCUs. I know one of my biggest regrets is not going to an HBCU. I definitely applied. They definitely didn't give me no financial aid. But, like, the experience to go to HBCU, I would love my kids to be able to go to an HBCU. And just, I would love to see athletes come out of HBCUs and go into the league as well. I don't want this Deion Sanders situation and the momentum that HBCUs have to deter because he left. I would love to see more recruits, star recruits, go to HBCUs. And at the end of the day, it's the players that make the money move over in any school. Go there, dominate. No matter where, no matter what division you are, Division II, Division I, mainly. If you go and you dominate, talent recognizes talent. We finding dudes up in Greece and stuff in basketball to get into the NBA. Like, talent recognizes talent. Go to these schools and dominate. Yeah, you might not be on ESPN on noon on Saturdays, but the scouts will be there because that's their job. The scouts' job is to find the best of the best. Go to these HBCUs. Put yourself on the map. It's an experience I wish I was able to indulge in, and I hope that a lot of young kids are able to not be deterred from it and actually welcome the fact to go into HBCUs. I just want to leave it at that.
I agree. You know, coming out of high school like where I went to, you wasn't hearing anything about an HBCU. I'll tell you that straight up. Being in my school and Metco and whatnot, HBCU, what was that? I never heard of it because that was not something that was getting taught to you or brought up by the school, by my guidance counselors. Had no idea that, in a sense, HBCUs even existed because that's not the world I was living in terms of where I was at in education. Then, you know, you kind of get out of that world, and the most experience or understanding I get from HBCUs is watching Drumline.
Hey, yo.
But, like, straight up, Marv, I watched a movie like Drumline. I'm like, oh, okay, that's Stomp the Art. Like, okay, this is what HBCUs are all about. Like, these schools is, okay, this is the, like, yo, I didn't learn anything about that coming up in middle school, high school. But when these movies come out, that's where I got my knowledge from. And obviously after that, you gain more information as you get older into adulthood, do your own research and knowledge. But what you want to hope for, bringing it back to the Deion Sanders situation, yes, he's gone, not there anymore, but he laid a foundation.
Yep.
That, like you said, players want to go to these schools. Former players want to coach at these schools. And, you know, people don't feel like these schools, because they're not a Florida, Miami, Alabama, they still can get some recognition for who they are and what they can bring to the table.
For sure. Let's continue on with the playlist. Mike Nice, I know this was a segment that you really wanted to harp on and speak about. So I'm going to give you the floor, brother, and you know, I'll hop in.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, as many people have heard now by now, Jason David Frank, who was famously known as Tommy Oliver in the Power Rangers series, passed away. And he unfortunately passed away due to suicide. And I'm going to get to the suicide aspect of the situation. But first and foremost, you know, should I still have that moment of silence?
Yeah.
I want to have a moment of silence for my guy, Jason David Frank. who many would consider the greatest Power Ranger of all time. So, Jason Dave Frank, like I said, Tommy Oliver. I don't know about y'all all in this room, but growing up in my household, there was only three things I was mainly watching. Obviously, cartoons, you know, cartoons is there. But sports, wrestling, Power Rangers. That's all I knew growing up. And
explains a lot.
I'm sorry, I wasn't into the anime. Like, it just wasn't popping for me in my household. Like, I was watching Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots. I was watching The Rock, Stone Cold, wrestling. And then I was locked on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And The Rock. The Rock, bro. Come on now. If you smell what The Rock is cooking, why that make sense for? What that mean?
It's okay, bro. Black Adam, Emmy.
That's why you defend The Rock so much.
Hey, because I know him from when he came from. But anyways.
I know
him too. You be
I don't hate.
Thank you, Tex. He don't put no respect on The Rock's name.
I'd say he's a great wrestler. One of my favorites.
What about actor? See what quality I'm films. Saying?
Quality films, bro.
Thank you, Tex.
Tex lying out his ass.
But yes, Power Rangers, Jason David Frank, known as Tommy Oliver. I think for a lot of people who was fully invested in the Power Rangers, like, you grew up with that guy, watching him fight crime, because that's what Power Rangers, fighting the bad guy. It wasn't really considered fighting crime.
Who, the
Power Rangers? I mean, they wasn't. Yeah, they wasn't crime. Stopping people robbing liquor stores.
They was stopping people destroying the world. I guess I'll consider, sure, they weren't stopping petty
okay,
crime.
Okay, they wasn't like Spider-Man swinging through,
they
swinging
through
the
neighborhood.
City. But yeah, they were defending the Earth. They were defending planet Earth, word to Zordon and Alpha 5. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's what I grew up watching. I wanted to be a Power Ranger so bad because of the original series, the Mighty Morphin, the Red Ranger. Then you had Tommy come in, and the Green Ranger. Fun fact, I don't know how many people noticed, Tommy wasn't supposed to last for more than a couple episodes. That whole Green Ranger, like, couple episodes they did was only supposed to be a little thing, nice couple episodes, and they was just supposed to go back to the original five. But I guess at the time when they brought him in, people's like, yo, I really rock with this Green Ranger dude, like his character. You know, girls probably thought he was cute or whatever. I don't know what the case may be, but people was really rocking with the Green Ranger. And because of that, that's why they shifted from the Green Ranger, keeping him around longer, transformed into the White Ranger, and then he just took off from there. But originally, Tommy wasn't supposed to be around for that long at all. But he just became that popular over time. Like I said, he did the Mighty Morphin series. He did the Turbo series. He did the, what's the other one?
Space Patrol.
Then he came back for...
Which ones you watched?
That's foul.
Then he came back for Dino Thunder.
This dude ignored me.
Tommy did a lot. And I think he played the most... He was involved in the most episodes, the most series out of anybody else. I say all this to say there's a lot of people in my age group that grew up watching Tommy Oliver, Jason David Frank for many years, and he was a hero. He was a hero for a lot of people, and hearing that he committed suicide and he passed away was devastating. I ain't gonna lie to y'all, it's still like sometimes I find myself at work just going back watching old Power Rangers stuff right now, because like that stuff, that Power Rangers episodes, the movie, like that was all huge for me when he came out with all that stuff, and his loss really hit. I remember the morning I woke up and one of our boys posted it in our friend chat, in our group chat, and I just like froze, because I was like, whoa, this is my childhood hero. And even as an adult, and yeah, he's not doing Power Ranger stuff anymore, but like he still shows up to a lot of conventions and still takes pictures and posts videos, and he's still heavy on social media talking about his past and things he did. You know, he's doing some stuff now. Like, he was just seemed like somebody that everybody loved, even kids today, adults who used to follow him when they were young. The following for him was major. And the fact that he passed away so suddenly, 49 years old, and then you hear that he just passed away, and you're like, yo, damn, what happened? Was he sick? This old? Like, what could have possibly happened? And I'm telling you, I was researching, waiting. Like, I need to know what happened to this dude because he seems so beloved by many. Then the news comes out that he committed suicide, and it's just... It was already a blow that he passed away, but then you get an extra blow, like he committed suicide for someone. Like I said, if you follow him and know what he was all about and what he was doing, you just did not expect that to be the reason why he lost his life. So it hurt. Still somewhat hurts. And, you know, I definitely want to give my condolences to the family. I think he had 4 kids. As many fans out there, like,
yeah, I mean, if you're a 90s baby, you know about Power Rangers. I remember I couldn't wake up before, I couldn't get out of my room till 8 o'clock. My parents just said, "Duh, you're not gonna be up running around and everything like that." But as soon as it got 8, got out of my room, went to the living room, turned on TV, put on Fox, Power Rangers was on. It was like the first thing on the block, and you just grew up watching Power Rangers. My favorite color is green, so I was always attracted to the Green Ranger. And the Green Ranger, at the time, he was a bad guy. I always remember that. He was the bad Ranger. And he, like we were talking prior to the show, he'd be messing them up. He was really messing them up. I remember, I'll never forget this, either like first grade or something. And we had, we would do the show and tell in school. So you just come in with an item. So I remember one time I told my mom, I begged my mom, like, yo, can you get me a Power Ranger action figure? Please get me a Power Ranger action figure. I swore I told her to get green. I swore.
She got you the blue.
You think she got me the blue, brother?
She get you, bro.
She called me the pink Ranger, bro. It was... The pink, and it was dope too. It was a crazy action figure. It was, the only problem was pink. And my dumbass brought it to school for show and tell.
Oh, you probably got roasted.
Yo.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever got roasted. That's when I had to learn to get a quick tongue. I was like, oh, I got to learn how to fight back. This is crazy.
Fight back, bro. Fight back.
I had to learn how to fight back. Thank God too, because I didn't get haircuts to, like, that's a whole other
that's
story.
That's a different shit, story, listen, Marv.
When your pops gives you haircuts, you have no choice but to have a quick tongue.
Oh my gosh. My life.
Your
my
pops.
Life.
You get
the one fade.
My dog, life.
I had
at least you got a fade. At least you got a fade. At least you got a fade.
I was a milk
dud,
bro.
You too.
And it hurts too.
Everything gone.
So that's where I learned, all right, I gotta start making fun of people because the way I'm gonna get it. But I say that to say Power Rangers was, you know, as a 90s baby, a huge part. It's shocking. It was definitely shocking to see him pass because he was always, out of all the Power Rangers,
it was popular.
He was the most relevant.
Yeah.
Like, my boy Spikey, I brought him up a couple times on the show. My boy Spikey was just at Comic-Con last year and took a picture. It's like, yo, I'm taking a picture with one of my heroes. It's like, yo, that's dope that he's out there. And I was scrolling through his TikTok the other day just to see, check on what he was doing. And he was legit huge on TikTok. And the motivational stuff he'd do, people would ask him to do the Mighty Morphin stuff, and he'd just do it on his TikTok and just, you know, just because he knew, you know, how much he meant to people and stuff. So, yeah, it's crazy. I know you want to hop on the reason of his death and it being suicide. And that's just, you know, you look at him, you would have never thought.
Exactly. And I know we're all old enough in this room. We've heard the different stories about, you know, people unfortunately committing suicide and whatnot. And it's always unfortunate situations when somebody feels like they have to take their own life because of whatever the situation, circumstances going on. And like I said, it's never good when you hear about suicide. But, you know, speaking on this situation specifically, like you said, on TikTok, being motivational to many people. This guy had fans. Fans on top of fans on top of fans. Because Power Rangers is one of the most popular series, whatever you want to call it, in the world. Like, it originated from, I think,
Japan
or something like that. Like, the original idea or series or whatever came from Japan. So, yeah, it was already popular over there. And then, like, I didn't even notice, like, a lot of the scenes from the original show, those wasn't, like, scenes that the actors filmed.
Yeah, they were
those are scenes from like, Japan. Mm-hmm.
And they put there, yeah.
And they just voiced over, and I didn't know that for a long time. So you got to think, Power Rangers is already popular. You bring it over to the United States, and they put their own little twist on the show. The popularity just grew. And years pass on. He's, like, about four or five different series he was a part of, a couple different movies he was a part of. Even the most recent movie that a lot of people think is probably Chop and probably sucked.
Why do you always say a lot of people? What do you think?
The Mighty Morph. It wasn't my type of Power Rangers movie.
Just say you didn't like it. You don't gotta
but
say
he, a lot. But he made a cameo in it. And you only gonna bring, obviously, you bring the most popular Ranger back to make a cameo.
I seen that movie. I don't remember. When did he come in?
It was very quick, bro. It was like at the end when the Zord beat the thing.
I must have missed it.
Literally, it was him and the original Pink Ranger, like, taking out their phone and taking a picture. Like, it was a real quick cameo. And then I guess they got some other scenes that they got deleted. I don't, anyways. I say all that to say he has so much love from people, and you hear that he committed suicide, and it's like, it goes back to say, in every situation, most of the times, you don't know what people are going through. Because like I said, we only know him from what he posted on social media. He puts his camera up, he's happy, he's talking. Like, literally yesterday, he used to have a personal vlog called My Morphing Life. Mm-hmm. And I watched the episode he had during the series, where he's literally going behind the scenes of him making the cameo on that movie that came out. And dude just getting love and just happy, and whatever situation, you know, because apparently the situation is him and his wife got into an argument at a hotel. In the midst of that argument, whatever, he locked himself in his room and committed suicide.
Shit.
His wife was trying to check on him, couldn't get in touch with him, called the hotel. Hotel couldn't call the police. They are like, all right, you know, forget this. Let's get into his room. They got into his room and unfortunately found him hanging in the bathroom. And you had never thought, and I don't know the man personally. Never met him, you know, shout out to Spikey getting that chance. I never met the man personally, knew him on a personal level. But you wouldn't think someone who is in the limelight as much as he is, got so much fan support, got four kids, only 49 years old, you'd never think he's at a space where suicide is something that's crossing his mind. And it goes back to say, you a lot of outpour and, you know, fans and loved ones and former Rangers speaking out. And this just goes back to the same thing being said about suicide and people in that space.
It always,
check in on your people.
It always amazes me when it's someone older who commits suicide. I don't know why it strikes me differently. Is it when the Robin Williams and like dudes, people who are a lot older that commit suicide, I find it rare and just like, wow, you've lived all this life already. Why do you want to
end it now
at this point? Yeah. You know, when you hear suicide, it's a lot younger people our age and younger who commit suicide. And so when you hear adults who've live through
and you
seeing people,
celebrities now, yeah, at that too.
You know, I don't want to say interesting, but it intrigues me anytime I hear someone as old as he was at 49 to commit suicide.
You mind if I cut
go
you?
Ahead.
Go ahead.
Because I actually wanted to ask you guys that. Because when you said Robert Williams, that was one of the first things that popped into my mind. So, do you feel like it might be an issue? Like a, not like a culture, but sort of like a, like a mindset or like a, there's a word that I'm looking for, but there's something about it because I think the same, I believe the same thing. It's very, it's shocking to see people like older because you believe they're so set in their ways.
Right.
They're used to dealing with these things in life. So what do you guys personally feel like makes it so intriguing or makes it so, it brings it to the spotlight, makes it something that you should talk about? Or because it's not like a one case kind of thing. It does happen.
Yeah.
It's not like it's new. So what do you think, what do you guys feel like is something that contributes to that?
I guess to me it's, we can't ignore the middle age and up, right? Like we don't have it all figured out when we get older. I think that's how I see it. You look at a guy like Robert Williams, he was probably what, in his 60s? He was old. The dude from CNN, who probably had like, to my opinion, the greatest job in the world. I'm forgetting his name right now, who was traveling and eating food all over the place. And I think it was Andy something. And he had an amazing job. He committed suicide. And he was another older gentleman, probably in his 50s. I don't know. I can't, in my personal life, I don't know of anyone of older age committing suicide. I know celebrities of older age committing, but my personal life, I've never heard of that. So maybe that's what also shocks me when I hear of it. But just a reminder of, look, we gotta check. No one's got it figured. No matter what age you are, life hits you in different certain ways that you never expected. So, you know, look at the ones who are older than us, the older generation as well, and check in on their mental health. I know in our generation now, we're big on mental health and we speak on it all the time. It's not the same for them. That's very foreign to them. So checking in on them as well.
I agree. I think it's in an unfortunate way, it reminds all of us, no matter your status, money, like we're all on the same level. We bleed the same blood. We breathe the same air. Nobody's different. And I get it. You have people who make money, famous, athlete, actress, actor. You don't know, and I said this, you don't know what anybody's dealing with. You would never think that somebody who is a celebrity, athlete, actor, actress, like I said, making a lot of money, get all this love from fans, signing autographs, out and about, you would never think that someone living that lifestyle wants to end their life. We sitting here, yo, let me meet Tommy, the Green Ranger, and have everything he had, and fans, and oh, we chilling, I'm happy. But at the end of the day, when the camera's turned off, when the social media's turned off, when he back, you have no idea what he's dealing with. He might be feeling, and I don't know how to necessarily, he's probably dealing, feeling the same way as common folk or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. You only get what the camera's presenting to you, what the screen is presenting to you. So in a weird way, it reminds all of us that no matter who you are, where you are, what kind of status you have, we're all on the same level. And you know, there's probably people who, whatever Jason David Frank was feeling in his life, there's probably people feeling the same way that he is. Now, do they have the thoughts of suicide? Maybe not, but they may be still struggling. But here's just a case here with Jason David Frank having those thoughts and feelings in life. And he decided to take that turn and make and take his own life. So I just think, look at these situations, Robert Williams, Jason David Frank. Nobody, the world will say we're different. He's a celebrity. He's, you know, this class, he's that. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, we on the same level. We breathe the same air. We bleed the same blood. Like, nobody is necessarily different. And anybody with any type of fame, fortunes, could be going through whatever type of situation. And, you know, you just got to do what you can to make sure whoever it is, they're good. Check in on them. Make sure they're okay. See how you can support. See how you can be helpful if you can. I don't know if Jason David Frank was able to have that, or again, don't know the man personally, what's going on in his life, but it's sad to me, and it's sad to, in any of these situations, of course, but speaking on this one specifically, it's sad that knowing who he is and what he meant to thousands, millions of people, he decided to just one day say, let me end it. So I definitely want to give him his flowers. He always deserves his flowers. So how, who he meant to thousands, millions of people who supported his career over the years. I'm happy to have been able to watch him in his shows, his movies, follow his social media. I'm a huge Jason David Frank fan. And, you know, again, from Double M, condolences to friends, family, loved ones. It's just a sad situation. It still bothers me even right now as I speak on it, because, like, again, Power Rangers was something big for me. It was big for you, big for a lot of different people. But Double M definitely sends thoughts, prayers, and condolences to friends, family, loved ones of Jason David Frank.
Absolutely. As has been the theme since our Friendsgiving episode, just, you know, showing that love, spreading the love, checking in. You know, it's the season right now where it's probably the easiest to do so, even when it's not. And like, one thing I've been doing myself, usually in the past, when I'm like, think of like my aunt or something, like, oh, I gotta hit her up, see how she's doing. Then I go about my day. When I have that thought, automatically just do it. Just let me just hit that person up and just do it, because I'm very busy, or I tend to forget a lot of things. So just when those thoughts or someone crosses your mind, even a shoot quick text like, yo, you crossed my mind, just hoping all is well, the response you get back, people get shocked.
Yes,
like, oh,
I've definitely done that, like, why the hell are you, like, hitting me up?
Wow. Hey, people, you like, never know,
you just crossed my mind, you popped up in a drink, like something, like, yeah. Let me just, I just want to see, you popped up in my, I just want to hit you up, like, pretty just random, but.
A wee bit random.
A
wee bit random. But no, it's good to just check on your loved ones. Because like we said, you just never know. You never know what people are going through. So thank you for that reminder, Mike. Nice as well. This is Double M Live, episode 190. We are here back in Warm Studios. We got Big Tex in the building as well. Wrapping up.
I have a question. I'm sorry. Before we wrap it up, when it comes to the suicide on celebrities, what do you guys feel like us as consumers or as the public can do to lighten their load? Because in my opinion, it seems like a lot of celebrities take on a very, it seems like celebrities feel like they're responsible for our opinions or like what we perceive is going on in society and things like that. And like,
I think I see where you're going at. And I don't know if this answers your question, but I've always been the one to say we got to stop holding celebrities to the standard of what they say is, like, you know, they don't have, they're just, celebrities are just like us when it comes to the educations of up thing, you know? Like, we and when I say we, I don't mean me specifically, I'm just talking of us as people. We hold celebrities to such dislikes, so whatever they say goes in with social media, of course, that it makes things go even crazy. That's why when a celebrity endorses a president, it's like, oh, okay, LeBron's really likes Hillary Clinton. I'm gonna listen to more with Hillary Clinton instead of doing the research on your own on Hillary Clinton. You're just gonna go with what the celebrity says because it makes things easier. Stop holding these celebrities to these godlike levels. They're not. That's all it is. When it comes to relationships, when it comes to what they say, like obviously you can admire them. You can admire the things that they do, but that doesn't mean you have to hold them to a standard where you forget to be who you are in yourself.
Bingo. Marv said it. I agree completely. Celebrities gonna be celebrities because, you know, that's just what's going on. But at the end of the day, you are your own individual, make your own individual thoughts, feelings, and opinions. Sure, you could say, oh, a celebrity's my hero, but you have to live your own life regardless. So that celebrity ain't gonna live your life for you. You're gonna have to live your own life. So I agree with Marv said for sure. If that answers your questions, text.
Word. So we got text asking the heavy hitters, but yep. I got kind of hot. Light started beaming on my forehead.
Louise.
Woo, hot seat, episode 119, Warm Studio. Shout out to Warm. Shout out to Big Tex. Mr. Mike Nice is in the building.
Let me talk to you.
What are you going to say?
Yeah. It's a wrestling reference, my fault. Shout out to Sam one time. He know what I'm talking about.
This is Double M, episode 119, and we a la luna.
A la luna. Oh, brother.